Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Really quick, in just a moment, to Matthew 28. Open your Bibles with me to Matthew 28 tonight. Thank you. Amen. God is so good. What we're going to do tonight, last week we had Brother Joe Morris in. That was a wonderful meeting. But what we've done is we have begun a new series on evangelism and discipleship. And I think we have a blazing here tonight with us. I think we should put our hands together for them tonight. Let them know that we really appreciate them. God bless you guys. And thank God for the team, for Bowden, Angela, the whole team. They do such a wonderful job, and we thank God for their blaze as well. So tonight is going to be lesson two on this series, Evangelism and Discipleship. And tonight's message, for those that take notes, is going to be entitled, What is a Disciple? What is a Disciple? Now, that may seem insignificant, or may sound really simple. God didn't make anything hard. The difference is, I believe tonight by the time we finish, you're going to have a different insight on what a disciple is. Because I really believe in the heart of every child of God, every believer, we want to be a disciple. But how many know if you don't know what something is, it's hard to be it. Amen. Or how about if we have a comprehension of something that we think it is, but we find that when we really study it in the Word of God, that's not what our comprehension of it is. So the goal tonight is to find it scripturally, and we'll just begin tonight in looking in Matthew 28 and verse 18 through 20. I like reading it from the from the New King James Version, and I'll tell you why in just one moment. In verse 18, it says, And Jesus came and spake to them, his disciples, saying, All power or authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. The King James Version says, in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Most other translations translate that make disciples of all nations. Notice either way, the next verse is teaching them to obey all things I've commanded you. The point that I'm making is in discipleship, there is teaching necessary so that we learn what God has said so that we can obey what he said. So the real point here is that he said for the church to make disciples. Amen. So we know that both Matthew 28 here, and for time's sake, we will not read Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. Both are called or known as the Great Commission. The Great Commission itself reveals God's plan. And Jesus' directive is for his church, which is to win and disciple people to Christ. So what we find in Matthew 28, this verse clearly illustrates the importance of both evangelism and discipleship. And since Jesus said, make disciples of all people, what we know is what we have to do is we must first bring people or person to Christ and get them saved. Isn't that right? Right. However, what this does is this lets us know what Jesus expects his church to do. And what that is to take the person from being just getting saved or being a convert or a believer into making them a disciple for him. That's what he's telling us to do. He didn't just say, get them saved and it's over. or the job is done. As important and as valuable as it is, I'm going to be redundant on this again tonight, because we have to get in our mindset that God expects both. And when you understand that, you will see the value, hopefully even greater, of the local church. Because God, I think one of the greatest definitions of the local church is it's the school you go to relearn how to live again, and you really don't graduate until you die. Amen. Praise God. And so a person could, think about this, could actually be saved, could be a believer or a convert, and still not be a disciple. That's the point I'm making. Do you get that? But you could never be a disciple without first being saved or a convert. Amen. Remember, as important and essential as it is to get people saved, I would never downplay that. You know how important we believe that is. Amen. God didn't call us to just get people saved without making them a disciple. We must remember that. You know, we should be excited to get people saved. I know a lot of times out in the marketplace, out in the world, when I get a person saved, we endeavor to have little books with us because it is important what their next steps would be. As excited as I am to lead them to the Lord, I should be just as excited about making sure that they understand that it's not over, it's just begun. Amen. They got more than fire insurance, and we are not sellers of just in fire insurance. We're to make followers of Jesus Christ. And I know that many times that's very difficult to do in a short setting, and obviously you cannot do it just at a one thing. But it's just like on Sunday mornings or even on a Wednesday night, when a person gets saved here, one of the things, the reason why we have them to go to the altar room is because I tell them we are as concerned about what happens tomorrow and the next day as we are right now. And they have some little booklets that will help drive the point home or introduce them to their next steps of discipleship. Amen. And them learning to not just be a convert, one who's just got saved or believer, as important as that is, but actually how to become a disciple, because they don't know that's what God expects, but we do. And we, as disciples, should be good disciple makers. And that's the point that I'm getting at. Amen. So this also shows us the why of discipleship. And last week's message, if you didn't hear it, I would encourage you to go back, listen to it, because that's what we spent the introduction, it was actually 2 weeks ago was the first message. But that was the title of the message, Why Discipleship, and we explained why this is so important. Because disciples, listen, one reason why is because disciples are actually taught and understand how to be witnesses. They understand how to win others to Christ and are able to disciple others because of what they've learned and because they know and understand they're commanded to do so. So in other words, we just don't leave that to that responsibility to one or two people or only to the pastor. All of us can play a part of discipleship. Amen. I remember he's not here tonight. He's on vacation. But one of my close friends that I grew up with, that in high school, we were best friends. And after, how many ever witnessed this, that after high school, you kind of went your own way? You know, you work different places. You don't necessarily see one another. Amen. And that was a case in our life. But what happened was that I had, you know, when you were very good friends, you don't forget about people. Well, he didn't forget about me. I didn't forget about him. But at pass number cross, and his own testimony was, back then, from 1984 to 1999, I worked as a meat cutter. Amen. As a meat cutter, meat manager of a local grocery store. And his testimony was that he would come in the store from time to time where I work at, but he would try to avoid me because he heard I'd gotten saved, and really in a nutshell, he didn't want nothing to do with that. Or that thought intimidated him that if I run into him that I might say something to him. Okay, so I really never run into him, and I'll never forget one day at lunch. I was at what I did at lunch is I had 30 minutes, and I had my wonderful lunch that my wife always packed. Amen. I'm sure you wanted to know what that was. Praise the Lord. So I'll tell you, praise God. It was one meat sandwich and one peanut butter and jelly and a package of, she packed, you're ahead of the game, but you're right. She packed potato chips for me, 6 double stuffed Oreos, and a ho-ho. I eat the ho-ho as my morning break. Praise God. Amen. And I had to eat my double stuffs really quick because the owner of the store liked them too. So he would come back from time to time at lunch and say, "Can I have one?" Of course, I didn't say, "No, you could have one." But the point is, when I ate lunch, I always read the Word of God. At that half an hour, I always had my Bible or read that. And usually I was by myself because people didn't want to bother me and all that kind of stuff. Well, I'll never forget one day when I was eating my lunch, I heard someone say, "Hey, Chris," and I turned around, and it was my friend, Brian Bird. Many of you know who Brian Bird is here in that church. I know he wouldn't mind me telling you this story. And I said, "What's going on?" He said, I have something to tell you. I have something good to tell you. And he says, "I've given my heart to Jesus." And I said, "Praise God." Now, I tell you this story because in that, you know, I just rejoiced with him. I don't remember all that was said or done that day, but this is what happened. He was going through some things in his life, and he reached out to me, and he says, I would like to meet with you at lunch from time to time, and I want you to teach me what you know. That's basically, so in other words, what we did from time to time, I took my lunch instead of him. I'm sitting in the back room eating. I would tell him he was self-employed, so he said, "You tell me when you go to lunch." I never knew when I went to lunch. I went because whenever I could. And he said, "You just call me ahead of time, and I'll meet you, and we'll sit in my truck, if you don't mind, I got questions for you, but I want you to share things that will help me." So that's what we did. Amen. And we did that many times. Now, one of the things in doing that was I made it really clear to him that you need a local church and a pastor. But the point that I also want you to see is how we can simply, in disciple making, share what we know with others. I didn't know everything then. I didn't have to know everything then. But what I did know, I could share. And the questions that he had, that most of them I could answer. And if I couldn't, I'd just tell them. And I said, "I'd get back with you." So the point is that God didn't call just a few. He called us all to do this. And you got to remember, I got saved in 1986. So this is somewhere, just as in, this was back in the 90s somewhere. So I've been saved less than 10 years. But regardless of it all, the point is God designed us not just to be saved, but to be disciples. Amen. Praise God. So don't get me wrong, but believers or converts, because they're saved or born again, they go to heaven. But disciples take people to heaven with them. See, if the goal was, if the goal of getting saved was only to get to heaven, then God should just call us home after we gotten saved. Amen. But the goal isn't just to be forgiven of our sins, get saved and go to heaven, but once saved, to become a disciple or a follower of Jesus Christ. Salvation, as vital and great as it is, it's only the beginning of a walk and life with Jesus Christ. God didn't call any of us just to be converts, to get saved, and to think that's all there is to it without actually becoming His disciple. Without all of us understanding the importance of embracing discipleship, we will live a mediocre Christian life at best, thinking we're just waiting to get to heaven. This shallow, narrow, and wrong mindset has paralyzed the body of Christ and kept it from fulfilling the Great Commission, leaving that responsibility in the mind of most believers to a few, like pastors and leaders in the church, and not everyone. We know it's necessary and right to get people saved. We all know that. We'll never downplay that. But let's not forget, we're instructed by Jesus Christ in the Great Commission to make disciples. I say it like this. When you read Matthew 28, 18 through 20, you see both evangelism and discipleship. Evangelism is implied. Discipleship is commanded. If you study it, you understand what I'm saying. Both are there and both are important. I'm not downplaying either one of those. Amen. So we know it's necessary and right to get people saved. But let's not forget that we're instructed to make disciples, those who truly follow Jesus with their lives. And so there must be an emphasis in the church world of both getting the lost saved and then making disciples. And we have to know what a disciple is in order to make one. We have to know what it is in order to be one. And then we have to know what it is in order to make one. So this is why this is so important. It's when the lost are saved and become disciples, they actually evangelize better. That's why we don't just want to leave a person saved. If they really going to do the work of Jesus, the people that really do the works of Jesus the best are disciples. They'll evangelize better. They'll disciple better. They in turn win the lost and help make disciples, because remember, true disciples follow the teachings of Jesus and obey them. That's exactly what is commanded, or exactly what it says in Matthew 28, verse 19. Again, notice, let's read verse 20. Because notice it says, teaching them to observe all things I commanded you. See, all things. See, in other words, that implies that you have to be a disciple in order to make a disciple, because disciples know the teachings of Jesus Christ. And having to know that takes time. But it first takes a commitment in our own heart. That's really the first step, is just say, I want to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I can promise you, it's never boring. If the devil painted some kind of weird picture in your mind, I can tell you right now, other than excitement and fulfillment, then it's the devil working on you and not true picture of a disciple. Many people overlook and aren't interested. Listen, this is very important. Many people overlook and are not interested in discipleship per se. You know, I imagine nobody in this room felt like that when they saw the new advertisement about evangelism and discipleship. You know, I'm sure you all here tonight were excited about it. But per se, many people, let me tell you why, when they hear something about evangelism and discipleship, they're not really excited about it or interested in it, because they want something in their mind that will help them right now in their crisis. In other words, they want a quick fix. And they don't see how discipleship and evangelism could be part of that equation. Therefore, you know, when the pastor talks about something about my problem, then I will be interested in it. But What you have to understand, the truth is, discipleship is their answer and all of our answer, because it's foundational to our lives. And we need to understand that the lack of it in our lives is one of the reasons people aren't experiencing the freedom, healing, prosperity, or deliverance in their lives. Because true discipleship is key and foundational to a successful Christian life. See, most people don't equate hearing about or a discipleship is really their answer. But I can tell you, it contains our answer. It's foundational and necessary for a successful Christian life. If it wasn't, Jesus made a big mistake by telling his disciples to put emphasis right there. Discipleship will help you learn how to appropriate the promises and the power of God for yourself. You'll learn how that you are dependent upon Jesus Christ. Yes, you learn from others, but you're dependent. And yes, there's times that we do minister to one another. We pray for one another. The scripture tells us all that. But in all of that, you learn how to depend upon Jesus Christ or go to him first. He may tell you you need to go and talk to so-and-so, but you go to him. You learn to depend upon him and learn how, through discipleship, how to receive God's promises and his power for yourself. And then once you can get it for yourself, you can help other people get it. Isn't that true? Praise God. Discipleship will help you learn how to, once again, appropriate the promises and the power of God for yourself, because discipleship will teach you, listen, who God called you to be and how to be his church. And what we must understand is that true fulfillment is found right there. The most fulfilled people are not the people that say, oh, I know that. Oh, I know that's in the Word. But they do something with what they know. Because that's where the freedom is. It's not just knowing something. It's doing something with what you know. Amen. And the people that are the greatest, have the greatest fulfillment in life, I can just tell you, are the people that touch other people for Jesus. You know it just as good as I do. I remember a gentleman, I'm sure he's, there you are, praise God. He shared with me about winning a family member to Jesus Christ. And the thrill and I'm just using, I don't know if he used this word or not, but the spiritual high that he had because of it, and had he just wanted more of that. Yeah. It's an adrenaline, and it's a feeling, yeah. And it is something that you want more of, because you know that is the highest form of love. You're experiencing the love of God for yourself when you share Christ with someone else, and they come to that. It does something to your heart. It does something to your life. When you can influence people and bring them to a place, whether you lead them to Christ or not, whether you're like Paul said, I planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase. Ultimately, God is the one that's going to save them. We may lead them to that place. We may have a part in that, or someone else actually does it. But whatever part we play is exciting. It brings fulfillment, because you were designed to do that. You were designed to do that. And the true fulfillment is found in those places, and found in the places where you learn who God called you to be and how to be his church, where you understand your new identity, where you understand who you really are in Christ, your inheritance in him. I can tell you, when you find out what God has left us in this book and says belongs to us, that should thrill us from morning to evening. And if it don't, you just don't know what God has left you yet. Because I can tell you, as great as $1 million is, $1 million can't buy health. $1 million can't buy joy. It can get you some happiness, but I know a lot of miserable people that are rich. And because just because you got money don't mean it's not a matter of money, but the love of money is the root of all evil. What you have and what you do cannot be your identity. Your identity has to be found in Christ. That's where fulfillment is. Because you're going to fall short some other way. Any other way. So the fulfillment comes from knowing and through discipleship, learning your identity. Learning your inheritance. It's very important that we learn our identity, because we're always trying to be somebody else that we were not made to be. And the grass seems to always be greener on the other side of the fence. But I'm reminding you and warning you tonight, on the other side of the fence is the septic tank. People search the world over trying to find or be someone else. God made you unique. You got to find out who He made you in Christ. The inheritance that belongs to you, and then the power that He gives us to not only live this Christian life, but to actually make a difference in other lives. Now I'm going to ask them to put slide 4 up for me if they would tonight. And we want to talk about why discipleship matters. There we go. Why discipleship matters. Discipleship is how believers, I haven't bored you yet, have I? Okay. Discipleship is how believers learn to walk with God. You know, you have to learn to walk with God. Just like a baby has to learn to walk. Parents, you know that. Babies go from crawling to walking. Praise the Lord. Some quicker than others, but they have to learn to walk. Now, let me give you a couple of scriptures for this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. We want to put that up and read that. Here it is. It says, I gave you the wrong scripture verse, didn't I? 2, 6 and 7, maybe not. Okay, let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt. No, that's 4, 6. I want 2, 6. 2, 6. I can quote it, but let's just, they'll have it back up. Colossians 2, 6. I'll turn there. You're turning there. Praise the Lord. Here it is. As you therefore have received Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, where you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Notice here, this is the teaching us that we have to learn to walk with Him. Okay? How did we receive Him? By faith. How are we going to walk in Him? By faith. And you have to learn to do this. Now, Romans chapter 6, verse 17, the Passion Translation says it like this. Romans 6, 17, the Passion Translations, we're still talking about learning to walk with God. And thanks be to God, for in the past you were servants of sin. But now your obedience is heart deep, and your life is being molded by truth through the teaching you are devoted to. Isn't that awesome? Now notice how our life is to be molded by the truth of God's. What is truth? Truth is not something. Truth is someone, Jesus Christ, and the word that He spoke. John 17, 17 says, Thy word, O God, is truth. In the beginning, John 1, 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. So God and His word are one, and notice, our life is being molded by truth. This is how we learn to walk with God, through the teaching you are devoted to. Devoted to. Not a little dab will do you. Devoted to. See, I'm just going to tell you, that it's no great secret why Pastor Debbie and I learned to be disciples quick, because every time the door was open, we were there. We didn't give ourselves this multiple choice option. Were we tired? Are we going? We never asked, no matter what time, most of the time, what time, you know, I'd get home somewhere between 5:30 and 6 o'clock. You were somewhere with that. Many times, we didn't even have time to eat, take a shower, and get to church. I'm not telling you to do what I did unless you want to be a disciple. As a matter of fact, I'm not telling you do what I did. I'm giving you an example of what I did and how we became what we are. There's no shortcuts. And so we made this a long time ago. From the very get-go, we didn't have a debate every time. Are we going to go? It wasn't multiple choice. If this, that, or the other. It was just one. We know we were going to go. Why? Because it was for our benefit. If we wanted to be who God called us to be, and we were hungry to learn what God's Word said so we could be who God says we are. Find out what God says we are and find out what He's given us and find out how to live this life that He's called us to live. Now, don't do it unless you want to grow. But notice, be molded by truth through the teaching you are devoted to. And we became devoted to this Word. And the place that this Word holds in your daily life, disciple, will determine the place that God holds in your daily life. I'm helping us tonight. I know it's tight, but it's right. Look at point two here. Discipleship is how believers grow, mature, and become free. Everybody wants to be free. But discipleship is how you get free. This is what Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 31 to 32, look at this. He said, and Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him. Remember, you could be a believer or a convert and not be a disciple. If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples. Notice, believer on this side, disciple on this side. If you continue in My Word, are you My disciples indeed. And notice verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Notice, is the truth you know that make you free, that makes you free. Now, here's something. It is not just the truth you know. It's the truth you know in an experiential way. Kenneth E. Weiss, Greek scholar, puts this in his translation. You look that word up, know, it means to know intimately, to know in an experiential way. So it's what we've experienced of what we know that sets us free. See, we may know by His stripes we're healed, but it's when we're down on our knees fighting the good fight of faith and receive it, stand it until it's all manifested, never wavering. Come on, that's just an example. That's an experience that sets you free. It's the truth we know in an experiential way that sets us free. You following Jesus Christ and moving from being just a convert or a believer, as important that is, on the way to heaven, to want to follow Him and be changed, live His Word and do His way, that's an experience now that makes you a disciple, that now you can help somebody else to do that. Because the freedom that you experience is only the freedom that you can give away. Now, you can talk about freedom, but it sure helps if you've experienced. Why discipleship matters? Here, discipleship is how believers learn to win in life. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, in the New Living Translation says, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith in Him. This is why discipleship matters. This is why it's important you hear about faith all the time. Because this is how you win. This is how you become a disciple. You can't please God without faith. You can't be saved without faith. I remember Brother Hagin telling a story one time. He pastored for 12 years. And in those early years, he was in the ministry for over 60 years. But in those early years, as he pastored for those first 12 years, he taught so much on faith. And of course, if you know Brother Hagin, he taught about faith because God gave him that assignment. So it's not only the thing he taught on, but God gave him that at some. He said, go teach my people faith. Go teach my people what I've taught you. I've allowed you to go through certain things and experiences, and you've learned from them. Now go teach my people faith. So that was his assignment. And so a minister one time came up to him after the service and said, why do you always talk about faith? You talk about faith all the time. I never talk about faith, but it seems like that's the only thing there is. And so Brother Hagin just said like this, well, you know, here's why I do. Number one, because did you know you can't even be saved without faith? Did you know you can't please God without faith? Do you know you can't even receive anything from God without faith? And he went on about three other things. And he said that minister was honest enough. He said it looked like I had slapped him. But he went from complaining and criticizing to say, to be honest, and here's what he said. He said, well, I guess I haven't even begun preaching yet. He says, I see what I got to do. See, when we understand, I love something that he would always say, what you're not up on, church, you're always down on. So this is why we have to, in other words, most of the times we criticize about things we don't know. And the things we don't know, we're quick to dismiss. But this is why we need to be up on the Word of God. We need to be up. This is the number one thing you need to be up on. You know why? Because it covers everything. There ain't nair thing left in the world that ain't covered here. And let me tell you something. Whatever God is silent about it in His Word, and there's not many things, just because you don't know where it's at don't mean it is in there. Come on, just because you don't know where it's at don't mean it's not in there. But let me tell you something. Never forget this. Whatever God's silent about in His Word is not necessary for your faith, for you to know Him by, or for your victory. Because God puts things in His Word primarily for your faith, for you to know Him by, and for your victory. And if He's silent about it, you don't need it. I would sure like to know the mysteries, the secret mysteries of fill in the blank. You better find out what God has revealed right here and focus on this. And then praise God. Hallelujah. Learn to win in life. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It says, now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, I like the always stuff. In other words, if we get in mindset, I might be facing something, but I ain't going to lose because He said, I always triumph. And if we learn to do it the way God said to do it as disciples, we can win. This is why it's important. Praise God. Now, hopefully, you can see by what I've just shared and the things I've said why discipleship matters and how it's the answer to some of our lives' greatest needs. We all got needs. But discipleship is actually the answer to some of life's greatest needs. To many, it's the answer to their problems, and the lack of discipleship in their lives is the real reason they remain defeated in so many ways. I just said a mouthful right there. I don't understand it, Pastor Chris. They're a good Christian. They're a good believer. Well, I'm glad. But are they a disciple? Because a disciple is commanded to know and do the Word. And that's where our victory lies in, church. I said, that's where our victory lies in. Now listen, relax. You may be in here and it's been less than a year that you've gotten saved. For the very fact that you're here tonight shows me that you want to be a disciple. And you're endeavoring to be. I haven't got there. I'm going to skip ahead. It's amazing. Jesus saw Peter, saw Andrew, saw John, and just said, come follow me. Be my disciple. And they went. So in their mind, that's what they were becoming. You know, the truth is, you may not have arrived, none of us arrived, but you're becoming who God says you are, a disciple. And it begins with us just following Him, saying, I commit to follow Him. Yes, I'm saved, but I understand He wants me to. And you know what? That's going to change our path. That's going to change our path. It's not, listen to what I'm going to say. It's not going to just change your eternal destiny, which is utmost important. I'm not downplaying that. But it's going to change the direction of the path and the course you're on before you even get there. It's going to be different. Your walk is going to be different. It's going to look different, and everybody ain't going to applaud it, especially your old friends. But hopefully you'll have enough compassion for them that you'll try to win them. And you begin by praying for them and not just trying to be pushy. You know what I'm saying? You learn how to win by lifestyle. They may, listen, when I said to many, discipleship is the answer to their problem. And the lack of discipleship is why they remain defeated in so many areas of their life. They may genuinely love God, I'm not discounting that, and ask God for help, but they never know God's answer will come to them in discipleship. Learning on their way to becoming a disciple. In other words, there's going to be a lot of answers on our way in our fellowship of Jesus Christ and being a disciple of Him. That's where the answers are at. You won't learn them all in one night. But you know what? You're on your way. And there's no need to be discouraged. And this is why every time we can be excited about coming back, because I'm learning to be a better disciple. Slide 3, what is a disciple? Now, so I've preached almost 50 minutes, 45, and now we're getting to the part in closing what we wanted to cover tonight. Imagine that. Okay, glad we have a few extra minutes. Are you all right? All right, what is a disciple? Here it is. In its simplest sense, means a pupil, a student, a learner, a follower. Yet being a disciple means more than being a learner or pupil. It means an adherent who accepts the instructions given to them and makes it their rule of conduct or way of life. Now that's a lot. In its simplest form, it means a pupil, a student, a learner, or follow. This is why Jesus, we're going to quote it in a minute. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Be my disciple is what He said. Amen. Slide 5 further answers this. What is a disciple? A disciple, listen, we're going to go a little bit deeper. A disciple is a student who is bound by commitment to a teacher in order to attain the teacher's knowledge. This word would never describe a casual listener or mere attendee. A disciple is a person who has willingly and deliberately positioned themselves under a leader and has inwardly resolved to be faithful, loyal, and a dedicated follower of that leader. And you know the leader I'm talking about, Jesus Christ. Ultimately Him. Yes, we do have leaders that should teach us and as pastors and stuff. I get that. But ultimately the leader that we're trying to follow is Jesus. All of us to follow is Jesus. A disciple is one trained in the ways of God and follows those ways, staying true to God's Word. Now that's way easier said than done, isn't it? But by these scriptural definitions, we can see the difference between a convert, a or you could say a nominal believer and being a disciple. A disciple is one who becomes by a lifestyle. Let me say it like this. A disciple is who one becomes by a lifestyle of following, learning, and obedience to God and His Word. We've showed that by the words of Jesus in Matthew 28. We see this all through the Scripture. Let me give you a couple examples of this. I've quoted this before, but this is good for us to see in Matthew 4, 29 and 30. Matthew 4, 19 and 20, I'm almost finished. It says, "And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Other translation says, "That be my disciple, come with me." And then look at verse 20, "And straightway," what did they do? "They left their nets and followed him." Oh, that's a whole nother message. In order to be a disciple, you're gonna have to leave some things. But I can tell you those things aren't going to hurt you. They're not going to hurt you. Leaving them will help you in your walk in relationship with God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to tell this story again because I don't know if I have time. Praise the Lord. Plenty of time. Okay, praise the Lord. I'll make this the short version of this story. Most of you know my testimony, how that before I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life, hunting and fishing was my God. Now, I really want to clarify there's nothing the matter with hunting and fishing. Hunting and fishing just cannot be your God. What you don't understand is that's all I ate, thought, dreamt, slept about, lived for, was hunting and fishing. I mean, when we dated, Pastor Debbie, for some of her dates, in order for her to even be with me, she tell you she had to go fishing. God bless her. She should have kicked me to the curb, said, "Go kiss your fish," you know. Amen. It's nothing the matter with hunting and fishing, but hunting and fishing just cannot be your God. So don't get me wrong. Now, so what happened in my life is that after I got saved, we got so turned on to God. I didn't have the time, and I don't have time to explain, but certain circumstances happened that helped me sever from my past. And for my good. And I remember that I still hunted a little bit and fish, but now going fishing, I got seasick. Are you kidding me? I never got seasick in all the years. And man, I was like, "Lord, what is going on?" Well, I figured it was going on. I wasn't supposed to be there. And nothing I did was the fun I used to have doing all that. So I figured it out. And with some other things that happened, it was easy for me to disconnect because I had so fallen in love with Jesus, His Word, and following Him. Our life is totally different. And so it really wasn't a big loss. It was a big change, but it wasn't a big loss. Now, so I remember one day grinding meat. Now, listen, I wasn't crying in the meat, okay? I was grinding hamburger. And I'll forget, I was crying out to God. I said, "God, I love you so much." And I heard God say, "Son, if you would just drop that," which I had, "if you would just drop that, I'll bless you. If you would just drop that and walk away from it totally, I'll bless you." That's what He said to me. And so I wasn't crying because that's what He said to me. I was crying because His presence was so strong and I was so thankful for what He'd done in my life. And really, it wasn't a hard thing for me to do because I was so in love with Jesus. I said, "Yeah, that's fine. That don't control me anymore." He said, "I'll bless you." Now, did God hold up His Word? Oh, way more than I have time to explain tonight. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So the point is, God's not going to ask you to do something you can't do, and then He will lead you in a way that whatever He asks you to do, include being His disciple, it's going to be so much better. Oh, well, there's a lot I could say. Acts 2, 40 through 42. Here's what the disciples did after they got saved and the day of Pentecost. And many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. This is Peter preaching. And then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That means 3,000 got saved, and then they were to baptize them. Okay? And here's what these new believers did. This is what I call the new believers' guideline to grow up in God. It's called discipleship. Here's what they did, four things. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They couldn't get enough of the word, but they went to the leaders and were taught the word of God continually and steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine in fellowship with other believers like precious faith who could edify and build them up, and they could do the same. A society of faith, and you need that. Spirit-filled living requires spirit-filled feeding, and spirit-filled feeding is going to lead you into spirit-filled living with other people that are like precious faith. Doesn't mean that other people aren't important. It just means you know where your iron sharpens iron at. Yeah, and breaking in bread. They ate meals together. That's why we all like to eat so much. And notice in prayers. In prayers. They continued steadfastly in all these things. This is what disciples did. This is what disciples did. The word, now slide six, notice these two words, disciple and discipline. Notice how close the spelling. I don't think it's accident. But they also are connected in meaning, because in short, the word, we've already heard what a disciple is, but in very short, discipline means involves training or to train up well. It involves training, or it means to train up well. And how many know a disciple is going to be a disciplined one? A disciple then couldn't hardly be. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I know I'm pushing you out into the from the kiddie pool to the deep end, but you're well able. Listen, you don't need to wear floaties anymore. A disciple then couldn't hardly be characterized by only attending an hour-long service on Sunday and doing a 10-minute daily devotional and think they're a disciple. I didn't say they're not a bully. I didn't say they didn't love Jesus. I didn't say they're not saved. I didn't say they're not going to heaven. I didn't say none of that. I'm talking about being a disciple. I'm talking about us putting that big boy pants on and growing up and being who God called us to be. And I can't play games with this church and make you feel like that 1 hour and 10 minutes, one hour in a church service and 10 minutes in a daily devotional makes you a disciple. Now, I'll say this. I know some people think that because they come to church twice a month, they set the world on fire. They hung the moon. Listen, I'm just thankful you come twice a month. Keep coming. Because if you keep coming, I love what Brother Hagin said. It's like playing on a slippery ditch bank. Sooner or later, you're going to slide on in. Sooner or later, you're going to hear something to set your wood on fire. When you find your identity, your inheritance, and what the power to live this life, it will stroke a flame in you. See, what I said about an hour service and a 10-minute daily devotional, now listen, we all have to start somewhere. That could very well be true for a convert, but God has called us to be His disciples. And I'm showing us what true discipleship is and what it looks like. And I got good news for us all in here tonight. Discipleship looks good on you. And disciples, the good news is if God's called us to be His disciples, we can be. Hello, disciple. Look at your neighbor and say, hello, disciple. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Isn't God good? Come on, Brother Ryan, help me tonight. Praise the Lord. I bet you the kids had as much fun as we did, though. Praise God. See, we may not always run and dance and shout in every service, but if you will get these things in our heart and life, it will make you run, dance, and shout. And you don't. And listen, you can you be running, dancing, and shouting at home. And how many know we all have to grow in all these? We grow in these things. Amen. But we have to know in order to grow. Why don't we stand to our feet tonight? You've been sitting long enough. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We bless you. We praise you. We love you. Lord, I pray for this congregation, all of us, to deepen in our discipleship. Thank you. Do in us what you want. Thank you for making us who we are, helping us to see it. I believe, Lord, this is why this great prayer, the Ephesians prayer, was written to disciples, so that we could see the picture of what a disciple is. We could see the call of God. We could see the inheritance of God. We could see the power and the authority that you've given us to live this life. And so, Lord, we thank you that your word inspires us. Your spirit grows us. And, Father, we thank you for your will being done in our lives. Lord, we love you. And we thank you tonight. We're reminded as we started tonight about what love is. And you showed us what love is. You sent your son. He died for us, for our sins, so that we could be forgiven and saved, and heaven could be our home. And yet tonight, we also understand that in that process, it didn't end. You said that we would become disciples. I believe tonight that you're speaking to hearts and lives, and you are deepening the reality of discipleship. That we're not just nominal believers or converts, so to speak. You said to make disciples, and we have to willingly want to that and follow you. And so, Father, thank you that people are willingly laying down their lives for you. We owe it all to you, Lord. And things are falling and breaking. And they're putting, and the main thing is, we put priority where priority needs to be, and you're helping us. Thank you for being patient with us, Lord, all of us, and helping us to see and make these adjustments. You're never mad at us. Even in your correction, you said you do it because you love us, and you're there, it's to help us. And so, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for speaking to hearts individually tonight and taking each one where you want us to go, deepening in our relationship with you and your Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the